This past Friday night, I was at a Q&A with Rav Schechter, and someone asked him about Asuki Shmaita Liba de Hilchasa. He's fond of pointing out that the Gemara, in several different contexts, presents learning a sugya all the way to Halacha Lamaisa as the pinnacle of learning. And fellow wanted to know, so how does that fit with Noshim Azikim Zechtas? Don't at first blush strike us as Halacha Lamaisa quite the same way that perhaps Brachos and Moed do. So he pointed out that's a misapprehension. Every blot in Shas, there's a relevance to Halacha. Now the truth is, Baruch Hashem learned Baba Basra this year in Yeshiva.
Sorry, can someone unmute? Big Rebbe is on mute.
Is that better?
Yes, thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Okay, great to see you guys. I hope you can come back live soon.
Thank you.
So, Shechter is saying, you know, every blanch shas, there are concepts and insights the Gemara has that are relevant to Halacha. I learned Bava Basra this year, so the core topics of Bava Basra are very obviously relevant to Halacha Masa. Issues of dealing, negotiating between neighbors, zoning issues, questions about who owns which asset, questions of inheritance and contracts and shtaros, that's the bread and butter of everyday life. But I want to take a look together at a Gemara that might, a Gemara in Bava Basra, that might first strike us as being more arcane. Not only because we think of the fifth parak of Bava Basra, many of us, we don't get too deep in, so you think about Rabbah Baruch Hanna and the phenomenal agados that need to be understood and absorbed, but don't strike us at first as necessarily halacha l'maisa. Most of us don't get to jump across the wax river every day juggling. But I actually want to take a look deeper in the parag, a gemara about kachim. A kachim gemara. So Baruch Hashem, I hope it never gets old. For as many years as you get to learn Hakotel, should never get old. That you're in a Beis HaMedrash, you could look at the Makam Mikdash. I'm struck, and I was struck this morning once again, I've been zoch to spend many Shabbos in this Baruch Hashem, this yeshiva. The fact that they split the Aron Kodesh so you could face Mikdash. You could see through the window. It brings to mind the Psukim in the sixth parak of Daniel. It described the end of the narrative part of Sefer Daniel, and when during the Persian era, and the Psukim described the way he davened. He was hundreds of miles north and northeast of here. The Kavim Psichinle. But he had open windows. He would daven three times a day out the open window facing Yerushalayim. What a schus it is that you have, they split the Aron Kodesh in half so you can have an open window looking out at the Malka Mikdash just a couple hundred meters away. So perhaps where you feel a little bit more of a connection to Kachim here than elsewhere, but still. A sugi about Me'ila, and yet, in the sugi about Me'ila, we're going to discover, hopefully, intriguing lamdas and fascinating halacha l'maisa, and we'll end with a look at a different, even more halacha l'maisa sugi, and you can have what to think about. Food for thought in terms of how that may relate as well. The Gemara Bava Basra, Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, quotes a Mishnah in Maseches Me'ila. This is deep in the Kachim, Paragimel, Mishnah Vav, it appears in a Gemara in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah talks about the following. Me'ila, as we know, is the prohibition the Torah speaks about the beginning of Chumash Vayikra, the end of Parashas Vayikra, and among the Ashamos, one of the times you have to bring Karban Asham is if a Jew sets something aside as Hekdesh, either Hekdesh L'Mizbeach, he set an item aside to be used as a Karban, or Hekdesh L'Beit HaKavayis, he sets something aside to be the property of the Beis HaMikdash Fund, of Mikdash Incorporated, to be used for whatever the needs are of the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So a Jew is Makdash something. Let's for now focus on Hekdash L'Beit HaKavayis. So you set something aside to be used L'Beit HaKavayis. That's beautiful mitzvah. If Rachman L'Tzlan, a Jew takes that Davar Shel Hekdash and has personal use from it, sells it, or you know benefits from it personally, so that's a severe chet. And typically, the response to that chet is the parsha of Me'ila, which means you got to pay back, Karen v'chomish, you have to pay back plus an extra 25%, and you got to bring a carbon asham. One of the, if you say zel makomun every day, every week, one of the six ashamos is the asham me'ilo. So that's me'ilo. A Jew is nehne min ha'hektish, he has to pay back Karen v'chomish, and he's chayv to bring a carbon asham. So the Mishnah says, so the Mishnah Me'ilah says, quoted by the Gemara in Bava Basra, right, Tesam Aleph, so the Mishnah says, let's say you have a water cistern, water is on our minds, Baruch Hashem, the rain has been good recently, so you have old school water systems, you have an open pit, and it's full of water, and a Jew is makdish, you bar malei mayim, you're makdish it, so the Mishnah says, it has Kedusha. And if a Jew is nehneh from the bar itself, let's say you start taking out some of the bricks of the bar to use for whatever, or you're nehneh from the mayim, either way there is me'ilah. It would be the partial me'ilah would apply. However, hiktish bar v'achakach nesmali mayim, if I was makdish a bar, an empty bar, then it rained and rained and rained, now the bar is full, so the Mishnah says there is me'ilah on the bar itself. If I'm nehneh from the bricks, that's a parsha of me'ilah kicks in. But if I'm nena from the water, there's no parsha of me'ilah. And then Tanam get into details. Maybe if you Tanam have a machlokas, if let's say you're makdish a tree and then it grew fruit, that may be different. Because that's not inanimate, that's actually the gidulim of hektish. So that's some Tanam say, if you have a kadosh tree, so then if it produces apples, it produces oranges, so those are gidul hektish, those are kadosh. But the Tanam all agree that if you have an inanimate bar that just subsequently filled up with water, your makdish it empty, you filled it with water, hiktish bar b'nismali mayim, there is no me'ilah on the water. There is me'ilah on the bar itself and the structure, but not on the water. So Tosis right away wants to know, well why? 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 If I sell you a bar and it fills up, it rains, so then you own, because you own the bar, you own the water. So why should this be any different? Instead of an individual, instead of Shimon being cone of the water, Hektish was cone of the water. So Tosis both in Bava Basra and in Me'ilah, Tosis says, well, the answer is, apparently, what's the Chiddush of this Mishnah? The Chiddush of the Mishnah, the nature of the Chiddush, the Nekudas HaChiddush is that apparently Hektish does not have a Kain Chatzar. It's true. If Reuven sells a bar to Shimon and then it fills up with water, Shimon owns the water because of Kain Chatzar. Apparently, says Tosis, there is no Kain Chatzar. Hektish has no Kain Chatzar. And Tosis begins to explain why, because they take you back to Bav Metzia, that Kain Chatzar is based on Kain Yad. There's no Yad LeHektish, and therefore there's no Chatzar LeHektish. So that's Tosis' theory, if you've come across the Mishnayos in Kiddushin, I believe Daf Chavav, the Mishnah there talks about Kinyan Nekarka, Kinyan Metaltim. The Mishnah makes a point, Chavav, Chavdal, around there, Mishnah said, points out that Kinyanim are sometimes different for Hektish than for Hedyot. There are certain ways in which Hektish has an easier time being Kona. If I say that this item is yours, we learned Bava Basra, I'm sure you saw the opening Rambam, the opening line of all of Sefer Kinyan, Mechira Aleph Aleph, the Rambam says, the first thing you got to know about Kinyanim is that you need a Maisa Kinyan. Das alone does not do it. I'm sure you've seen that many times. And Eina Mekach Niknin B'dvarim, that's how the Rambam opens Sefer Kinyan. It's not enough to want it to be yours. If I own this Gemara, I can't just will it to you. I can't even telling you that it's yours is enough. There needs to be a Maisa Kinyan. So the Mishnah Kiddushin says, but Hektish doesn't work that way. If I'm the classic Hakdasha, we talked about before, a fellow says, I raise a Hektish, now it's Hektish. There was no Kinyan. The Gizbar Shal Hektish didn't come by and do a Meshicha. There was no Chatz. There was no Kinyan of any sort. Amirasa Legevo Kimisirasa Lehedyot. So sometimes Hektish has greater powers of Kinyan than Hedyot, than a human. And sometimes Tosa says, less. Okay, it's different. So Tosa says, Amira works to Hektish but not to Hedyot. And Chatzer works only for Hedyot and not for Hektish. That's what Tosa says. How else do you understand this Mishnah? Hiktish barb nesmalei mayim. There's no me'il on the water. Why is there no me'il on the water? It must be because it doesn't belong to Hektish. Why doesn't it belong to Hektish? Because apparently Hektish does have a kinyan mira, but Hektish does not have a kinyan chatzar. That's the Ashkenazi approach. And the Ramban, in case you have the Maram Kamos, you can feel free to take a peek. The Ramban on this sugya says, that's what Tosa says. I have hesitations about it. If you take a look in the Ktzos, The Ksos quotes this Machlokas Barichas, opening Ksos in Simon Reish, which is the Simon Chosh Mishpah, about Kedah Chatzar. The Ksos points out there are difficulties with the way Tosas derives this from Yat, not so Pashat. So the Rabban says, I'm not so sure that Hekesh is not Kone B'chatzar. Maybe Hekesh is Kone B'chatzar. Aye, so then why isn't there Me'il on the water? So Rabban says, well, Hekesh is Kone B'chatzar, but Ein Me'ila B'zichiyasa. Hektish is zocha in the water. The word does belong to Hektish, but there's no me'ila on what Hektish is zocha in. It's a mysterious Ramban. Ramban is often terse. Well, why? How are you threading that needle? It does belong to Hektish, but there's no me'ila. So the obvious question is, well, why? That's exactly what Tosas is bothered by. So the Ritva begins to explain more. If you have a Rabbanion, you can take a peek there as well. The Ritva begins to explain more. Now, what the Ramban, Ritva was a Talmud of a Talmud of the Ramban. It's the same base Midrash Shal Ramban. Ritva explains what the Rebbe meant is the reason why there's no Me'ila. He says, because there's never Me'ila unless there's Kiddush Peh. I took the Gemara and I said, Harei Zeh Hektish. So then, if a Jew is nana from it or sells it, there'll be me'ila. I took a bor and I was makdish it. Kiddush peh. I said bor is a hektish. So then there's me'ila on the bor, but there was never a kiddush peh on the water. I just did a kiddush peh on the bor and it filled up with water naturally on its own afterwards. So therefore, there's no me'ila unless there's kiddush peh. So that advances us a little bit and still leaves us sort of scratching our heads. Well, why? What does that mean? Well, we're still seem to be threading the needle. Well, it is Shal Hektish, but because there was no Kiddush Peh, well, what does Kiddush Peh do? And furthermore, some ask that it's demonstrably false. How can Ritva argue that that there is no Me'ila without Kiddush Peh? It's beferish incorrect, because there is one carbon that becomes a carbon without moving from Hektar Shlabela Kabais to Hektar Shlamezbeach. There's one carbon that becomes Kadosh Zak Kiddush Peh. Which one is it? Of all the carbonos in Ezeh Makamon, which one becomes Kadosh on its own? Usually, if I'm chayiv it was Menadar carbon Ola, all right, Rahman Tzai did a chet, did a chiv karis b'shogeg, I have to bring a carbon chatas. Or Pesach is coming, you have to bring a carbon Pesach. So the animal doesn't become Kaddish on its own, even if I only own one animal, it's not automatic. I have to walk into the barn and say, that goat is going to be a carbon Pesach. That bull is going to be a carbon Ola. But there's one animal, that's one type of carbon where you don't need Kiddush Peh. Yeah, exactly. Bechar. What's your name?
Eitan.
Right, Bechar. Bechar is Kaddish Merechem. It's Kaddish by dint of the fact that it's the firstborn to its mother. And there is Me'ilan Bechar. No Kiddush Peh. So the Rav and others suggested that question actually gets you to the heart of what the Ramban and the Ritva are really driving at. They don't mean that there's like a Gzeres HaKasev, that somehow a connection between verbalization and Me'ila. Some Gzeres HaKasev that connects Peh. No. That's not what they mean. What they mean is the following. The way Rabbi Schechter says it over is that while Tosfos saw in this Mishnah, in that quote of Baba Basra, a chiddush about the kinyanim of Hektish, the Hektish does not have kinyan chatzer, and what the Ramban, the Ritva, saw in the Sugya is that there exists a concept of secular property of Hektish. That not everything the Hektish owns automatically is kadosh. You can have an item that belongs to Berak HaBayis, but has no Kiddusha whatsoever. And that's what they mean by Kiddush Peh. They don't mean necessarily that usually the way to make something Kadosh is to say it, Harei Zeh Hektish. Bechor, there's a different Mekadosh. The Mekadosh is Rechem. The fact that it's Peh to Rechem in of itself makes it Kadosh. But the point wasn't Kiddush Peh specific. It wasn't about the verbalization. It was that there needs to be a Mekadosh. Typically, becoming Kadosh, that Isur V'Hester status, and becoming the financial property of Hektish, the Dini Mamna side, they usually go hand in hand. After all, we said before that Ami Rasul Lagavel, Kinyan Rasul Hedya. So usually, verbalization, saying Harei Zeh Hektish, both is a Kinyan on the Dini Mamna side, it's Maknet Hektish, and makes a Kaddish. But every once in a while, you can partialize, you can tease them apart. So if you have a Kinyan Chatzar, Hektish, the water falls into the bar. So then it became the property of Hekdesh because of Kinyan Chatzar. Ramban, unlike Tosfos, believes that Hekdesh does have a Kinyan Chatzar. So now it belongs to Hekdesh Incorporated. But no one and nothing was ever Mekadesh it. It didn't have a Kiddush Peh. It was not Kaddish Meirechem. There was no force making it Kaddish. So this sort of slipped under the radar, and all of a sudden now, you sort of have a rare separation between the Dinei Mamonos property of Hekdesh and the Isur V'Heter Kedusha of Hekdesh. So that's the Ramban's, that's how the Rav and others understood the approach of the Chachmei Sfarad, the Ramban, the Ritva, is that what you have here is secular property of Hekdesh. So it's a fascinating sugya. And if at some point in the year you spend more time with Daf Ayin Tes, as I mentioned, the Ksos and the Sivas have plenty to say, beginning with Siman Reish, rise back and forth. We do accept Tos, don't accept Tos about the Ramban, they have a lot to say. There's a beautiful stipler, and I think it's the only stipler on Perek Hasvina, is the stipler on Chatzar L'Hekdesh. But what I want to do now is talk about one or two aspects of the Halacha, because this sounds, again, as we said before, a few ways we get into the Sugya, you know, it's Freilich, it's Geschmack, Kutchim, Dini Mominus, doesn't, Meher Yibana HaMikdash, Mirz Hashem, this should all be Halacha L'Maisa very soon. But right now, hopefully no one's being machshir things right now. To be machshir anything right now, Bizman Azeh, without a base on Mikdash, just asking for trouble. So how does this come up, Halacha L'Maisa? So I'll give you one place where we started with Chosha Mishpat. I'll give you one place where this appears. Not only does this appear in the Ksos Nesivos on the page of Chosha Mishpat, it actually appears on the page of Aruch Chaim as well. So I want to do two things right now. With that, we'll wrap up. Then we'll show you where this appears on the page of Aruch Chaim. And then I'll put out a little bit of Yerideya, something food for thought. You may want to think about whether or not this intersects and how. In Siman Kuf Nun Dalet in Aruch Chaim, the Halacha of Beis HaKnesses, the Magen Avraham raises the following question. I walk into a shul and I find an aveda. I find a lost object. It has no simanim. It has no simanim. So, Farish, second parak of Bava Metzia. It has no simanim. I have the right to keep it. Right? Because we assume yeyesh, however you understand what's going on between Vela Metzias. Aveda shein bo simanim, I get to keep. I find it in a Beis HaKnesses. What would you say? I find a lost object in shul that has no siman. I have no chiva shavas aveda. What do I do with it? Let's back up. Remind me what your name is.
Eitan.
Where do you live, Eitan?
West Hempstead.
So let's say I'm visiting Eitan's home. We're in the backyard. And I find an aveda. Eitan says it's not his. And there are no simanim. So what do I do with that aveda? Who owns the aveda? Eitan, I can't keep it. It's Eitan or Eitan's family. Why? Kinyan Chatzar. I find that Veda in the Beis HaKnesses. So Magen Avraham says, wow, I find that Veda in the Beis HaKnesses. I find that Veda she'en bo simanim. Who owns it? Do I get to keep it? Does it belong to the shul? So Magen Avraham quotes from the Aguda, I believe, one of the late Ashkenazi Rishonim who lived not long before Beis Yosef and Ramah. The Aguda says, you get to keep it. It's not like finding an Eitan's backyard. He says, why? Because Aguda, he says, Aguda in Me'ila, that's what it says, Aguda in Masechas Me'ila, Aguda goes through Halacha L'Maisan Shas, so here's the one din I believe, I didn't have access to an Aguda, save for Aguda, I got to take a look, but I imagine it's probably the only din, one of the only din he has for Masechas Me'ila. Aguda says, Matzah Veda Beis HaKnesses, you can keep it, because Ein Kinyan Chatzar LeHektish. And he assumes that Shul should operate the same way Hektish does, Mikdash Ma'at. So, and not surprisingly, the Aguda is lined up with which Rishon on Daf Ayin Tes and Bava Basra? Tosfos. Because it was not surprising. Aguda is one of the late Chachmei Ashkenaz. He's not Mechuyev to follow Tosfos, but that's what 9 times out of 10 that there's going to be that correlation. So he's coined the approach to Tosfos. The Ramban would have said, no, it's property of Hekdesh. There's no Me'ila because it's secular. In Beis HaMikdash, there's no Me'ila because it's secular property of Hekdesh, but it belongs to Hekdesh. So here, then this is a partialization. Here, obviously, in terms of the Hashavas HaVedish, or the not Hashavas HaVedish, but the question of can I be Zoche min HaHefker, the only part aspect of the issue that's relevant is the Dina Mamonos issue. No one thinks that there isn't an actual parsha of Me'ila on the Beis HaKnesses. One should not benefit, one should not steal from a shul, but it's not the parsha of Ne'ilah, not that type of Kedusha, but the question of the Dini Nominus is, does Mikdash have a Kain Chatz or not? So the Aguda believes in the Magen Avraham quotes, it's in the Kuf Nundal in Arachaim, that carries over. So that's a halacha lemaisa application of what seems like an abstruse, an arcane din in Kachin. The Mishnah in the middle of Masechet Me'ilah quoted in what often strikes us as the most arcane parak in Bava Basra, and here it is, mamish black on white in a Magen Avraham, smack in the middle of Arachaim. So that's
okay?
Yeah, sure.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Gavriel.
How can we say by Tuma that we say that the Mikdash is a Rishus Arabin?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So how could the Mikdash be Kenyan, be Kona something for Hekdash if it can't have a Kenyan Chatzar if it's a Rishus Arabin?
Ah, it's a good question. Mikdash, as you're asking again, that if for Tumah Tara purposes we would say that Mikdash is a Rishus Arabin in terms of Suffolk Tumah Rishus Arabin or Suffolk Tumah Rishus Yachid, so how could you say otherwise in a shul? So we'll come back to it from a different angle for a moment. But in terms of Suffolk Tumah in particular, so it's important to recognize that when we use the term Rishus HaRabim, the term Rishus HaRabim appears in a number of areas of Halacha, and it doesn't refer to the same concept. So for instance, Rishus HaRabim Shabbos versus Rishus HaYachid in Shabbos has nothing to do, or has little to do, with public or private ownership. You could have a privately owned space that's Rishus HaRabim. You could definitely have a publicly owned space that is at least Min HaTorah, Rishus HaYachid. So those are Rishus HaRabim means different things in Dina Mamnas versus Shabbos, and in Tumah it means yet a third thing. In Shabbos, in Dina Mamnas, we're talking about ownership. In Hilchah Shabbos, we're talking about whether or not the space is enclosed and how much traffic there is. In Tumah Vatara, the definition of Rishus HaRabim for Safek Tumah has to do with whether you have three people or more present or less than three people, based on the paradigm from Sota. That's a good question. But that does bring us to our final point. So I told you we would develop this machlokas Tosus Ramban, machlokas Ashkenaz and Sfaradim. We could say Tosus in the Aguda versus Ramban the Ritva. How do you understand this mission of Meila? Gimel Vav, Dafi Gimel Alf, quoted in Bava Basra, Ayin Testament Alf. Two ways of understanding what the Chiddush of the Tanan is. Lamdas here, Lamdas there. Either this relates to sort of the inverse of Amiras Lugavav Kimisras Lahedyot, or this new concept of the secular property of Hekdash. And then one practical halacha l'masa nafkamina is what the Magen Avraham quotes in the Aguda about Aveda Shein Bo Simanim Shenimsa B'Veis HaKnesses. I leave you with food for thought from Yaradeya. We're not going to get to Ebenezer this morning. Figure out maybe how. If you find that Aveda in Beis HaKnesses, Makai should go with Aveda, because that'll be an Ebenezer ramification. There is a sugya, another sugya based on Knesset that gets quoted in Yeridea. And that's appears in Maseches. Yuma appears in Maseches Megillah. Here it is in Yuma, Yud Aleph Amid Beis, Yud Beis Amid Aleph. It's one of the only times I know of, I think the only time I know of, I'm sure there are others, the only time I know of where Rashi gets quoted by name in the Pesachei Tshuva on the page of Shulchan Aruch. Rashi is very important learning Gemara, but he doesn't usually get quoted by name on the page of Shulchan Aruch. Either he's just assumed that's pshat in the Gemara, or we pass along to the other Rishonim against Rashi. But actually, the Pesachei Tshuva in Hilchos Mezuzah who quotes a Rashi. If you put the pieces together, there seem to be three ways of understanding this. The Gemara in Yuma, Dban Yud Aleph and Beis Tapu Yud Beis Amid Aleph, has a discussion about Mezuzah in a shul. So is a Beis HaKnesses Chayv Mezuzah or not? And the Gemara seems to say that in principle, Beis HaKnesses is Pater Mimezuzah. The Gemara says if you have a shul where there's a living space for the Chazan HaKnesses, what we will call the Shamas, my grandfather-in-law, Rav Melech Schechter, when he came from Romania to the United States to join YU at the age, I believe, of 16 or 17 years old, he came in the springtime. This goes back a couple of decades. Okay, this is before pre-World War II. And he came to IU in the springtime, and then the semester was over, and he was all alone in the country, without family. He had nowhere to stay. So the family story goes that I think at YU at that point was still in the Lower East Side. He found a shul, of the many, many shuls in the Lower East Side, he found one, some of the shuls had base Dira Lechazen. It was a shul that had a room in the building where the Shamas slept, And young Melech Shechter offered his services to the Shamas, that he would be the assistant Shamas for the summer, and he got himself a bed for the summer. That's how he made through until he came back to IU in the fall. Baruch Hashem, things have expanded. There are more options than there were in the 20s or 30s. That's exactly the Gemara says. If there's a Beis Dir Lachaz, and if the Shamas lives in the shul, okay, so that's Chayiv in Mezuzah. But if not, then the Gemara says, in principle, you're Pater, unless it's a, the Gemara says, but maybe we differentiate between big cities and small villages. So why is that? Why is the Beis HaKnesses, at least in principle, Pater from Mezuzah? So if you got to put the pieces together in Resh Pei Vav, in Yeridei, in Hilchos Mezuzah, it appears, the sugya appears in more than one place, Sif Gimel, and then again in the Sif Yud. If you put the piece together, it looks like there are three approaches, and we showed him why the Beis HaKnesses Pater from Mezuzah. Rashi says, and this is the Rashi called Beis Chachuva, Rashi says, because the house, the space has to be privately owned, privately held, in order to be Chayiv in Mezuzah. In a little kfar, So you have the 15, 20, 30 families who live here, they are the shutfim in the shul, so you have a bialim miyuchadim, you can specify who the owners are, it's privately owned, and therefore it's Chayiv Mezuzah. But a shul in a big city is basically corporately owned. Klal Yisrael owns it. You can't really point, everyone's passing through, it is no private ownership, you're putt. That's the approach of Rashi. The Rambam says, no, different approach. He says, diras kodesh. In order to be Chayiv Mezuzah, it has to be lived in, not enough that you have the structure, and there are various qualities that the dira has to have. One of which, according to the Rambam, is diras chol. Has to be secular. The use has to be secular. If the primary use of the shul is to davenin, that's a diras kodesh, not chayiv mezuzah. And then the Shach quotes a third approach later in Sif Yud from the Mordechai. The Mordechai is of the opinion. Shulchan Aruch quotes the machlokas. How about beis hamedrash? The beis hamedrash pater from mezuzah. Beis hamedrash. First, the Mechaber says yes, pater from mezuzah, and that's aligned with the Rambam, diras kodesh. Basically, it's basically all the same. And then Shulchan Aruch says, well, Yeshom Mechai Mezuzah. Why? So the Shach explains, the Mordechai says that the reason why a Beis HaKnesses is Pater from Mezuzah is not because it's Diras Kodesh, but because it lacks Diras, and not because of ownership issues, but because it lacks Diras Keva. It's not used sufficiently. He says, Shul, you use it, Shachris Min Chamar, that we were not talking about a Shtiblach. You have one minyan for Shacharis in the morning, and a minyan for Mincha, a minyan for Maariv. So he says that the vast majority of the day, the shul is unused. So that's called Diras Aroi, and that's why it's Pater. He says that Shach says the Beis HaMedrash is busy all day long. People are coming and going and learning. So that's called Diras Keva. So again, to recap, you have three reasons, three approaches we've shown as to what three machlokas. How come a Beis HaKnesses is Pater from Mezuzah? Is it because it's not owned, or because it's Diras Kodesh rather than Diras Chol, or because it's a Diras Aroi rather than a Diras Keva? So it's food for thought to think about how that Yoredeya context for thinking of a Beis HaKnesses may have relevance to the Sugi as well. And to what extent does the Machlokas, perhaps specifically Rashi versus Rambam and Mordechai, how might that play into maybe even to Tosfos Ramban, at the very least to the Magen Avraham's application of the Tosfos Ramban Sugya to Aveda Beis HaKnesses? How would these Rishonim line up? Maybe that Aveda Beis HaKnesses isn't only driven by Bava Basra Ayin Tes, maybe it's also driven by Yuma Yud Alf, Yuma Yud Beis, thinking about different approaches to Beis HaKnesses, because again, that Gudda was assuming Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaKnesses, it's all the same. He made that equation, and therefore the Machlokas Tosfos Ramban Aveda Hektash should naturally carry over. Whether that's necessarily true, or Mutav Machlokas, what to think about. So again, this was, hopefully, as advertised, a halachic adventure in Maseches Bava Basra, and thinking about lost in the Mikdash. To what extent does lost in the Mikdash Ma'at of a shul, Meher Yibana Beis HaMikdash, right now we are still in loss of our full Mikdash, Meher Yibana Beis HaMikdash.